Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Scarva Street, Sunday the 17th of May. We come to bring our worship to God and to continue in our thinking in the first book of the Scriptures, the book of Genesis. And we move into chapter 3, looking simply at the first verse this morning. We think of the snake in the garden. Friends, please do check the website for your midweek Bible study posted for Wednesday coming. It will be another in our series in the book of Revelation. As we have focused on to date, Revelation is a book made up of 8 scenes. The first scene is entirely on the earth. The last scene is entirely in heaven. And we're in the middle of that first scene, and we are thinking of the 7 churches in Asia Minor, as it was called, Asiatic area around Turkey today, and those 7 churches where Jesus, by revelation to John, had a special message for each of them. And we learn a little bit today of what that message meant to them. So friends, we look at the churches and after that we'll move into some of these amazing visions that John has received. Friends, just to remind you that our banners are up along the front of our church premises, and folk seem to be stopping and noticing them, and we trust are getting encouragement for them. God is our refuge, from Psalm 46 verse 1, and then that threefold triumphant verse, faith, hope and love, in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. Our children's notice boards are up as well, and boys and girls have posted some pictures and paintings, and they've brightened that entrance into the church building too, and thanks to the boys and girls for doing that. And anyone can add to that, so any boys and girls in Children's Church who'd like to add a little picture, please do bring them down to me or get them to me. Friends, sadly this morning I need to announce another death of one of our members, Cecil Johnson, and to his widow Pauline and the family we extend our sincere sympathy. Friends, we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we bow before you. We come in thankfulness for the knowledge of your mercy and goodness. And Lord, we pray for Pauline and the Johnson family circle. Lord, may they know much of your strength and your help at this time. And to all those who sorrow and are troubled, Lord, we pray your hand in grace upon them. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, we think of Genesis 3 verse 1 this morning, but we will read a couple of other passages, the prophecies of Ezekiel and Isaiah. But just before we come to praise God together, a verse in Revelation chapter 12 verse 9. In the middle of the book of Revelation, we have this passage about the woman and the dragon. And in verse 9, we have these words. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. That speaks of the rebellion there was in heaven. The chief angel rebelling against God and being cast out from the glory down to the earth. And we read of that same serpent, Satan, the devil, who comes to Adam and Eve, our first father and mother. Friends, we come to bring our worship to God together. We sing a hymn of triumph, a hymn of praise, a hymn that speaks of the glory of God. It's "The Lord is King," number 656. God's rule is absolute. His laws are perfect. His judgments are true. And he is so much more. For he is good. And we can trust him. Let's lift our voices in praise to God. Friends, let's come before our God in prayer. Let us pray. We bless you, O God, that the Lord is King, and we can lift up our voices to good effect. Father, we bless you that with heads bowed and hearts humble, we have a special joy of coming into your presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer, we bless you, Lord, is such a beautiful thing. For with faces down to the ground and hearts humbled before God, you delight to honour us by lifting us up, to allow us into your presence, that we might with the eye of faith gaze upon your beauty and your glory. We know that heaven awaits your people. And so, Lord, we come in wondrous anticipation right into the heavenly court as we come in Jesus' name and come in prayer. We bless you, O Lord, that you are faithful. Therefore, we should not fear. No matter what great shadows are cast over our lives, our nation, our world, we know that you are not hidden. You are ever there. No matter what anxiety we might have, whatever the prospect of trouble or uncertainty, we know that you call us, Lord, not to live by sight, but to live by faith. Lord, we come believing not only in who you are, but the goodness of your nature and your promises to meet all our true needs. You are God, and you have never let us down in the past. Not only are you our present helper and keeper, but you and your Son have the words of eternal life. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and he has made it known. So, Lord, deepen our faith in these days. Increase our wonder at what you will accomplish, and that knowledge of the glory of your heaven awaiting us. So, Lord, come and strengthen us inwardly. Let us never doubt, but always believe. And Lord, may you have the honour from our hearts as we live before you in humility and in faithfulness. Lord, forgive all our sins. Cleanse us from everything that is wrong. And enable us by your Spirit to live well for Jesus in these days. For his name's sake. Amen. Friends, we come to read from God's word, reading firstly just the first verse in Genesis chapter 3, and then two passages in Ezekiel, first of all chapter 28, and then Isaiah chapter 14. In the last book of the scriptures, Revelation 12 verse 9, at the beginning of the service, we read about the snake, the serpent, that ancient serpent, the devil or Satan, being cast down to earth. Here we read of his interaction with Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Who was this serpent? Who is the devil? Scripture reveals scripture. And so as we open up God's word further into this wonderful revelation of God to us, we find God giving us the answers to these most important questions. Not that we can know everything, but all that we need to know is there. We turn to Ezekiel chapter 28 and reading from verse 12 to 15. This is a prophecy against the king of Tyre, who was opposing God's people. But it takes us beyond the earthly king to the source of this evil, the devil himself. Ezekiel 28 at verse 12. Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz and emerald, chrysolite, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold on the day you were created. They were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created, till wickedness was found in you." And friends, reading also in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 14, again reading from verse 12. And here we have a prophecy against the king of Babylon. And here we read in chapter 14 at verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Amen. We thank God for the truth of His word. And friends, we think on these passages later on in our time of worship. Boys and girls, we're thinking this morning about the devil. Now, that's not something that we want to think about in a good way, because the devil is terribly, terribly wicked. And we ask the question, who is the devil? Well, the devil was a wonderful angel made by God. And the devil had a wonderful place in heaven. He was the wisest and the most beautiful, the most lovely creature that God had ever made, and was given a wonderful role. But the devil thought to himself, I want to take over. I want to rule in God's place. And so he rebelled against God, and God threw him out of heaven. Sometimes, boys and girls, the devil is pictured as a little red man with horns on his head and a long tail with a point at the end of it, and maybe a big fork, pitchfork in his hand, and maybe stoking a big fire. And the devil's quite happy for us to think about him in that almost funny way. But he's not funny at all. He hates God, and he hates us, and he doesn't want us to love God. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to learn from the Bible. He doesn't want us to go to church. And boys and girls, today, when we're not able to go to church because of the virus throughout the world, he's delighted. But isn't it wonderful that we can still, as it were, be in church as we're listening and sharing in our worship together? So we're going to battle the devil, aren't we? We're not going to let him win. We're going to love God. We're going to honour him. We're going to learn from him. The devil tries us to do get us to do all sorts of bad things, telling lies, fighting, not praying, not reading our Bibles, not wanting to go to church, wanting our own way all the time. He puts those thoughts in our minds, and he wants us just to do what he wants. The sad thing is, when we do wrong things, we do feel miserable, don't we? But when we trust God, and when we think of him and ask him for his strength in our hearts, and we can begin to do his will, we feel so much better inside, don't we? Because we're following our lovely God. There's a verse in the Bible, and I'll leave this with you. It's James chapter 4, verse 7. And it says this, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? When we trust God and ask him to strengthen us, we can resist the devil. And the great news is then he has to go. He can't stay with a boy or girl who says, I love God and I'm going to serve my God. He has to pack his bags and he has to go. And as we continually trust God, then the devil can have less and less influence on our lives. Let's have a wee prayer together, boys and girls. Father, we thank you that you're the Almighty God, that there's no one stronger than you in the whole universe. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've made. And Lord, we remember that the devil wants to get us to do all sorts of things that are wrong, that hurt you and hurt us and hurt other people. But we thank you for the promise in your Bible that as we submit ourselves to you and trust you, and as we resist the devil, the things he puts into our minds that are wrong, that he will have to go away. He will have to flee. Lord, help us as boys and girls to be big in this world, though we're small, because we love you and we serve you. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, we draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we bless you that we can open up our hearts to you and pray the prayers that are there. Father, we thank you that we're all different and there are prayers that we ask of you and they're just unique to us. We thank you, Lord, you're the loving Father and you listen to all our prayers, great and small. We thank you that day by day as we bow our heads, we know that you listen and that you respond. Father, we pray that you'll help us to pray together just now, for there are things that we can all share before your throne. In these days, O Lord, we think of those in care homes and those in hospital. We think especially of those on the front line in the battle, not only against the virus, but against every illness and weakness. We pray, Lord, that you will bless those residents in care homes, bless those patients in hospital, and bless each member of staff and those perhaps who feel particularly vulnerable today. May they have a sense of well-being and a knowledge of your presence. We pray, Lord, for loved ones unable to visit their family members. We pray that you will be their comfort and their peace also. Father, we think too of those involved in the emergency services, those who are first responders to those experiencing the symptoms of the virus. We think of ambulance and paramedic crews as they respond swiftly to calls and place themselves in particular danger. Lord, may they know your protective hand upon them. We think of those serving in the PSNI and those who are adapting to new ways of policing. We pray that you would help them as they seek to keep our communities safe and seek to promote the abiding of the laws set down before us. Lord, we pray too for our government in this difficult situation. We're conscious of the pressures upon Prime Minister and ministers to be doing what pleases everyone. We pray, Lord, that you will overrule in all things, that they might be guided in the right decisions at the right times. We pray for a responsible lifting of lockdown restrictions. Whenever that may be, we pray that there'll be good leadership from the top. And we pray that society will follow all the necessary ongoing restrictions. Lord, may we have a patience and may we persevere. Lord, we pray too for businesses grappling with the need for modifying their working practices and adapting the conditions in the workplace. Lord, you are the great creator, and we pray for creativity and ability given to those with this responsibility. And we pray for those that who go back to work that they may be safe and they may be flexible as they begin to resume their work. Lord, we pray for our church family. We pray for those who need your touch in hospital and care. We think of those who are sad today or those who are concerned about their own health or their loved one's health. We pray, O God, for all our people, that we will have that sense of togetherness, though we are apart. And Lord, may you use these days to deepen our faith, for you have given us time to focus and refocus. And in these quieter days, let us know that ministry of God by his Spirit to heart and life. And Lord, in the day when we are constrained in our activity, Lord, let us know that abundant of grace poured into our lives by your Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer, and in a few moments, Lord, bless us as we come to your word. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, before we come to God's word, it's lovely to have Leah leading us in song this morning as she sings Still My Soul. It's an expression of faith, and it's done in the attitude of prayer. Leah sings Still My Soul.
still. Do not forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dim. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. A steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone.
Friends, we come to God's word as we move into chapter 3 in Genesis. Step by step, the second chapter of Genesis has been preparing us for this chapter. We are told that God made everything, and he made everything good. The universe was orderly, but suddenly we come upon a creature whose existence had not been hinted at until now. And far from being good, he is evil personified. He comes to tempt Adam and Eve. He comes to bring evil into the human race. He's described in chapter 3, verse 1, as the serpent. We read at the beginning of the service from Revelation 12, verse 9, where that ancient enemy of God is Satan, the serpent, the devil. And we rightly ask questions. Where did the devil come from? Did God create him? Did God create evil? Well, the answer to the first two is that God created the devil, created him as the most beautiful and perfect being, the chief of his angelic host. The answer to the next question, did God create evil? The answer is no. We understand from God's revelation in the scriptures that he created angelic beings to serve, to honour him. He created them as perfect creatures with free will. There was an enticement to rebellion against God in heaven, and that took place. Why? How? We know only a little. But what we know from Genesis chapter 3 and other passages is that there is such a being as Satan, who was created perfect but fell away from his high position of serving God. He did that through pride, and that he carried many other angelic beings with him in their rebellion, and that he was the tempter at the beginning of history, coming to tempt Adam and Eve. And so we are called to think about a personal devil. Scripture reveals that there is a personal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is also a personal devil. And so we ask the question, who is Satan? Who is the devil? Although there are mysteries that we cannot fathom connected with the fall of Satan, there are several passages in the Bible that refer to this fall, and God has given these to help us to understand. The first such passage is Ezekiel chapter 28, and we read verses 12 to 15. Earlier in this chapter, there is a prophecy against the king of Tyre. In verse 2, we read that he is a man, not a god. And in verse 12 to 15, the verses we read, the prophecy is heightened to deal with more than a mere man, more than this king of Tyre, but to speak of Satan himself. There is much about these verses that we will probably not understand this side of heaven. But they do describe the original state of Satan and his subsequent fall and tell us important things about him. If you want to open your Bible at Ezekiel 28, verse 12, and just look down through the verses, we'll learn something about the devil. Verse 12 reminds us that he is the wisest of all God's created beings, that he has the highest position in the universe. He is the administrator of God's affairs. In verse 12, we also read that he is the most beautiful of God's creatures. In verse 13, that he reflected God's light, because gems reflect light. He is made to reflect God's glory. Verse 14, he is really God's prime minister, to use a human analogy, administrating the universe in God's name. But he is still a creature. He is not God. And when he aspired to be more than a creature, to be like God, he sinned. We read of that in verse 15. The second passage we read this morning is in Isaiah chapter 14, and again from verse 12. Again, the prophet is writing about the wickedness of an earthly king, the king of Babylon. We read of that in the opening verses of that chapter and the one before. But again, God by his Spirit takes us beyond the earthly king to the root of his evil. And again, in these verses, God speaks of more than a mere man. In verses 12 to 15 of Isaiah chapter 14, if you want to open up your Bible. There's something very particular here regarding sin itself. Sometimes we might speak of sin, S-I-N, and in the centre of sin, there's the letter I. And I am at the heart of my sin. It's my personal rebellion against God. Well, we find in Isaiah 14, at verse 13, how Satan said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. Ascending to heaven, above the stars, the mount of assembly, the utmost heights, to the very throne of God. Note 2 in verses 13 and 14. There are five I wills, five times where Satan puts his will above the will of God. And that's the definition of sin, isn't it? Not what you will, but what I will. And of course, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, his heart was the very opposite. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Once there was one will in the universe. That's what we have revealed here. There was God's perfect will. This one will was righteous and pure and loving and good. And Adam and Eve, in their glorious perfection and freedom, they had lived under that one will, righteous, pure, loving, and good. But in heaven, when Satan fell, there began a second will, an opposing will. And since Satan's fall and the fall of man, there has been a multiplicity of wills and disharmony ever since. Why are there arguments? Why are there misunderstandings? Why are there differences of opinions? It's all as a result of the fall. Don't we read in Isaiah where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." Friends, these familiar scriptures are all tied in. They are a mosaic. They come together. God's word is a beautiful unity of revelation. When Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden, his intention was to get them to follow him, to follow his will, this opposing will in the universe. And that happened when Adam and Eve sinned. Well, it happened to a certain extent, but not exactly. Satan got Adam and Eve to rebel against God, but he did not succeed in getting them to follow his will. So now there were four wills: God, Satan, Adam, and Eve, each one going its own way, and only one will remained perfect, God's will. In time there were six, as Cain and Abel were added. 16, 32, 64. Today there are billions of wills. Each explains the constant conflicts in the human race. But it is still the case that only one will, the will of God, is perfect and totally desirable. And Satan has been trying to form a kingdom of these mutually hostile wills. But he will not succeed. He has power to tear down, but he cannot build up. He can divide, but he cannot bring together again. And that's why hell will not be a community. It'll not be a community of people who have rebelled against God and they're there together. Hell will be a place of unspeakable loneliness, because each person's will be separate and opposed to the other. That's why hell will be a terrible place of hatred and fear, because everyone's will be in opposition to everyone else's will, and ultimately in opposition to the will of Satan himself. But friends, what Satan cannot do, God can. In Christ, our glorious Saviour, God is drawing the wills of his people back to himself. And he is establishing a harmony where there was chaos. And that is why Paul instructs us in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Doesn't the rebellion of Satan, the fall of mankind, the introducing of these mutually exclusive wills multiplying in our world today, each on its own and in opposition to the others, doesn't it throw wonderful light on such a verse as Romans 12:2, that we might be renewed in mind, that we might be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will, this one perfect will in all the universe. Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Coming back to this one perfect will. The way Satan operates is revealed in Scripture, not least here in the garden with Adam and Eve. And as we look further into this chapter, we will see this unfolding, so that we might be instructed and warned. But here we need to note that Satan is a creature, and therefore he is not like God. He is powerful, but not all powerful. God alone is omnipotent. He alone is all powerful. Satan cannot do everything he wants. And in the case of believers, he can only do against them what God will permit. The great example, of course, is Job, whom God ultimately protected, and Satan was powerless to destroy him. God alone is not only omnipotent, but God alone is also only omniscient. God knows all things, but Satan doesn't. Above all, Satan does not know the future. He can make shrewd guesses because he knows the nature of man and has observed history. The so-called revelations of mediums and fortune tellers, while they are not outright deceits, they fall into this category. They do not know the future. But God does. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is also omnipresent. He is everywhere. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time, unlike God. Satan must tempt one individual at a time. And so he operates through the fallen angels, now demons, who fell with him. If you are in Christ, friend, and if you keep your eyes on God, if your heart is prayerful and your desire is to honour his word, God will be your strength and he will be your protector. And he will not permit you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. Adam and Eve fell under Satan, and we are fallen in them until we come to true faith in Christ. It's then that we will be set free. We are far weaker than Adam and Eve. But they fell. But we in our weakness may be made strong, and we may stand, because we stand in a power greater than that of Adam and Eve before their fall. We stand in the power of He who defeated Satan by His victory on the cross, an everlasting victory. The Lord Jesus, who will return one day to judge Satan and to judge all those who belong to him and confine them to the lake of fire forever. But he will come and he will lift his people up, because he delights in those he saves. Friends, as we move into this chapter, we learn some more glorious truths. The greatness of God, the wickedness of our enemy, and also how we may stand and honour the Lord. We come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we bless you for your word. We bless you for its otherness. We bless you for its completeness. We bless you that although there are many things we cannot fully fathom or understand, all that we need to know is there. And just as in the garden, the devil questioned your word, O Lord. His first words to Eve were, "Did God really say?" Father, we bless you that your word is true. And we bless you that we can stand on this word. May it ever become more precious to us. And may that enable us to hold you more precious day by day. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friends, we join together in our closing praise. It's number 975, Before the Throne of God Above. And as we sing, we bless God that our perfect plea is a person, and that person is Jesus himself. And even as we sing, trusting him as our Saviour, he speaks our names. He speaks them before the throne. Let's come in praise.
For me.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and evermore. Amen.